Welcome to episode 30 from Faith UCC in Dunedin, Florida. Spring is here. The butterflies are here also. The cardinals and finches have returned. And the weather, it is perfect. Time to get outside and absorb creation by osmosis. If you like our podcasts, find us on iTunes, Google Play Music, or the iOS podcast app and give us some stars, preferably 5, and some reviews. Now listen to Mike and the sounds of nature as he gives us a path to peace and quiet.
How can you buy and sell the sky, the land? The ideal is strange to us. If we do not own the freshness of the air and the sparkle of the water, how can you buy them? Every part of this earth is sacred to my people. Every shining pine needle, every sandy shore, every mist in the dark woods, every meadow, every humming insect, all are holy in the memory and experience of my people. We know the sap which courses through these trees, as we know the blood that courses through our veins. We are part of the earth, and the earth is part of us. The perfumed flowers are our sisters. The bear, the deer, the great eagle, these are our brothers. The rock crests, the great meadow, the body heat of the pony and man, all belong to the same family. The shining water that moves in the streams and rivers is not just water, but the blood of our ancestors. Each ghostly reflection in the clear waters of the lakes tells of events and memories in the life of my people. The water's murmur is the voice of my father's father. The rivers are our brothers. They quench our thirst. They carry our canoes and feed our children. So you must give to the rivers the kindness you would give to any brother. Man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself.
My friends, as we journey into this month of celebrating creation and God's unfolding acts in our world, in our cosmos, in our lives, and in the very depth of our being, I want to share an excerpt from a story, a wonderful book by an author, Sue Monk Kidd. Has anybody read anything by Sue Monk Kidd? Oh yeah, oh, a few of you. That's great. This excerpt comes from her book, When the Heart Waits. Has anyone read When the Heart Waits? Well, there's your next book. And I do highly recommend you pick up a copy and read it. Great summer reading. It's deeply spiritual and grounding. She wrote about this experience with stillness, a bird, and a deep sense of interconnection. And I find it so loaded, this little excerpt, so loaded with layers of meaning that we could probably literally unpack this thing for weeks on end. But in particular, for us today, it's her idea of grace and the natural world that I want to lift up. So hear this short bit of this book from Sue Monk Kidd, this excerpt. One afternoon, as the children watched television and I folded laundry, we heard a terrible thud against the patio door. I turned in time to see blue wings falling to the ground. A bird had flown into the glass. None of us said a word. We looked at one another and crept to the door. The children followed me outside. I half expected the bird to be dead, but she wasn't. She was stunned. And her right wing was a little lopsided, but it didn't look broken, bruised, maybe. The bird sat perfectly still, her eyes tiny and afraid. She looked so fragile and alone that I sat down beside her. I reached out my little finger and brushed her wing. A voice came from behind me. "Why doesn't it fly off, Mama?" "She's hurt," I said. "She just needs to be still." We watched her. We watched her stillness. Finally, the children wandered back to the television, satisfied that nothing was going to happen for a while. But I couldn't leave her. I sat beside her, unable to resist the feeling that we shared something, the two of us, the wounds and the brokenness of life, crumpled wings, a collision with something harsh and real. I felt like crying for her, for myself, for every broken thing in the world. That moment taught me that while the postures of stillness within the cocoon are frequently an individual experience, we also need to share our stillness. The bird taught me anew that we're all in this together, that we need to sit in one another's stillness and take up corporate postures of prayer. How wonderful it is when we can be honest and free enough to say to one another, I need you to wait with me, or would you like me to wait with you? I studied the bird, deeply impressed that she seemed to know instinctively that in stillness is healing. I had been learning that now, learning that stillness can be the prayer that transforms us. How much more concentrated our stillness becomes, though, when it is shared. The door opened again. Is she finished being still yet? No, not yet, I said, knowing that I was talking as much about myself as the bird. So we went on waiting together, 20 minutes, 30, 50. Finally, she was finished being still. She cocked her head to one side, lifted her wing, and flew. The sight of her flying made me catch my breath. From the corner of my eye, I saw her shadow move along the ground and cross over me. Grace is everywhere, I thought. I picked myself up and went back to folding laundry. The end. Gosh, she can write. I was thinking of this experience kid shared as I was working on this sermon yesterday on my patio, and that indeed she is so right. After I read it again, grace is everywhere. If we can just tune into the world and just let it grasp us. I was struggling with how to start this sermon for some strange reason, and of course distracted by the Masters golf scores, which I had to run and check every 15 or so minutes. But then I read her words again, that story again, and I accepted her invitation to just sit in stillness and just be. Just be, and to tune deeply into the moments that were literally unfolding right around me, to look deeply into the world around me so I could see, can I too find that kind of grace? And I have to tell you, the experience in that short time was breathtaking and transformative. I invite you just to close your eyes. I want to try and visualize what I was experiencing as I share this with you. I first closed my eyes, just sat there in stillness. I felt the gentle and invisible winds cutting through the thickening and creeping humidity that was emerging from the air around me. And after a while, I opened my eyes to the drama that was literally unfolding around me and watched as the sunlight and the breeze joined forces to make little palm trees and large pine trees that towered over me come alive in some kind of a shimmering dance. And I watched two playful squirrels zigzag round and round tree trunks, chasing one another in what looked like playful frivolity. Occasionally, they would stop and stare back at me, just stare at me. I wondered, what were they thinking? I heard the purr and whistle of a mourning dove as it fluttered back and forth from tree to ground in search of food or perhaps nest supplies, who knows? The sky was a soft blue, but was being swallowed up by an ominous-looking cloud of gray as it began to hide the sun. Geckos were staring at me and bobbing their heads as they climbed the screen that surrounded my patio. What were they thinking, I wondered, as they stared. I touched an aloe plant that was on my patio table, noting its soft, spongy, almost rubbery feel, and marveled that inside that little branch, that little stem, was a healing balm that science can't even come close to replicating yet. I heard the songbirds that I couldn't even see singing and chirping their sweet sounds into the arena of life that we shared in that moment. Oh, it was beautiful. From the feelings of the cooling breeze to the sounds of diversity of the living things creeping and calling and playing all around me, to the incredible palette of color that was on fire around this little common corner of this large apartment complex, it just astounded me, just in that little corner. And I realized that indeed, Sue Monk Kidd, you are right, grace is everywhere. If we can just take the time to stop and to be still and to notice it, and it's especially alive in a natural created world that surrounds us. It was a great experience. I hope you can take a chance, take some time to do that. Speaking of grace, in the midst of creation, I came across that short reading from spiritual ecologist Wendell Berry last week, sometime when I was reading things about the earth, and it struck me by just how true it is. The Bible is not a book to be read indoors. It's really not. That it's really an outdoor book and is best experienced in the outdoors, and therefore our spiritual lives are not meant to be lived indoors either, are they? They're meant to be lived outdoors in the natural world around us. I mean, the Bible has been telling us this all along, that grace is to be found in the natural world. I mean, think about it. Let's recount some stories here. That's where most of the stuff happens in the Bible, our sacred text. It happens outside. The Bible is full of stories that takes place in what? In gardens, right? And along banks of rivers, or on hillsides, or under the stars, or on the waters, or literally in the waters. Grace happens outside of caves. It happens in the desert. It happens on mountaintops. It happens traveling roads. It happens in wheat fields. It happens in olive groves and vineyards. And yes, it happens among the lilies of the fields and the birds of the air, as we heard in Matthew. The books of the Bible, my friends, were formed and passed on orally by people around what? Campfires, under the stars. And the experience of God that people passed on in those ancient times were imbued with the sense of awesomeness of nature and the created order. Awe and wonder are the hallmark of so many of our sacred stories. The Bible in Genesis begins where? In a garden, with God wandering in the cool breeze of this garden. And they told stories of how God created Adam, meaning man, humanity, from the dust of the earth. They told stories of how rebirth and cleansing comes from what? The coolness of being dipped in the waters of a flowing river. The sacredness of the earth, the healing powers of the natural world, the peace that comes from the cosmos around us, these have always been the things of our very own scriptures, our very own Bible, even if we were taught that they were not. That everything had to happen in a church with four walls and a roof. It's time that we reclaim that. It's time we reclaim that and bring the natural world into the heart of our faith as it was intended to be from the very beginning, as a mediator of grace. And that is what this month, this April Earth Month, will be about. I hope that it can transform you. I hope that it can open you to the experience of awe and wonder and humility and grace. I hope that this theme of the earth this month can instill in you that there are miracles happening around you all the time, just waiting for you to open your eyes, to sit in some stillness and notice them. Like Wendell Berry reminded us of what happens when soil and water and sunlight come together. Turning water into wine, as he said, is not all that special. When you think about how a grape came to be in the first place, right? That's the miracle. The world is so beautiful and we are so interconnected to it, that it's mind-boggling. But we just need to slow it all down. Sit with the blue jay in some stillness, to notice the lilies of the fields, how miraculous they are, and just rest in the awesomeness of it all. And grace will surely find us. So my friends, please take some time this month. Sep Sue Monk Kids' invitation to open yourself to the reality of the grace that is around you. Sit in our garden. Who here sits in our butterfly garden? Great. Sit at a bench at the beach. Heck, grab a bench at your favorite park, or just sit on your patio, as I did yesterday, and just tune into the world around you. I guarantee you will be changed by the experience if you can make that a practice of your life. That's the power of the grace that comes from our natural world. I want to close this meditation with a story from Thich Nhat Hanh from his book, Living Buddha, Living Christ, another book I highly recommend to you. It's kind of like a koan, kind of like a riddle. So I want you to listen to this. I invite you to ponder it this week as you tune more intentionally into the world around you. Close your eyes again and just picture this. He wrote, "One day I was about to step on a dry leaf. I saw the leaf in the ultimate dimension. I saw that it was not really dead, but that it was merging with the moist soil in order to appear on the tree the following spring in another form. I smiled at the leaf, and I said to it, 'You are pretending. Everything is pretending to be born, and everything is pretending to die, including the leaf.' The Buddha said, 'When conditions are sufficient, the body reveals itself, and we say the body exists. When conditions are not sufficient, the body cannot be perceived by us, and we say the body does not exist. The day of our death is a day of our continuation in many other forms. If we can get to this point, we will experience the depth of grace. Gaze deeply into the world this week, my friends, and let's have a great month of celebrating our one precious earth. Amen.